Well, again, happy Easter. Thank you for choosing to worship with us. And just a great day as we come together. And some of you folks, we haven't been able to see for a while due to the restrictions and so on and being careful. But thank you. It seems like things are opening up a little bit more and you're able to be out and about a little bit. So thank you for choosing to worship with us. And those who are still watching online, we welcome you. And again, thank you for choosing to worship with us here in this way. Now, this Easter morning, I'd like to encourage you with a message of hope. A message of hope. In fact, if you have your notes there, we're calling this Resurrection Hope. And in doing so, we need to talk about what hope means. What is a definition of hope? Now, oftentimes when hope is mentioned, it's in the context of hoping for something in the future. In fact, I looked it up in Webster's dictionary, and it says hope is a feeling that what is wanted or desired will happen. A feeling that what is wanted or desired will happen. Hasn't happened yet. It's like a little kid, you know, hey, I hope I get a bike for my birthday, right? You know, it hasn't happened, but I hope I get it. Or like Pastor Nate last week when he was talking about getting that prize in the cereal box. And it's like, I hope it's going to be all my greatest expectations. Yeah, it hasn't happened yet. And in that case, it really probably didn't. But, you know, I hope. I hope that the weather's nice when I go on vacation. We're not sure if it will be or not, but that's our hope, right? It's looking to the future and having this feeling of something we want or desire will happen. Well, another kind of hope is the expectation of a brighter future, often based upon our circumstances or our environment. For example, if you are a member of a successful upwardly mobile family, maybe your parents are doctors or lawyers or they have good jobs and so on, you might think, you know, well, that's kind of the expectation. Maybe I'm going to be a part of the family business, and we have that hope that things will just continue in that direction. However, if you are born in poverty, you may feel stuck. You may have a loss of hope. And now it seems like hope is waning to some extent in our culture. With all the social concerns that surround us, many look for hope in our government. You know, hey, you know, I get that stimulus check. You know, I just hope it comes through here soon. You know, it'd be nice to help pay some bills. Or jobs. You know, government talking about providing all kinds of jobs to give security. Even religious freedom, that's another issue. And we have valued our religious freedom. But is our hope as a church in the government providing religious freedom? We best not place our hope in that. Because one thing that I'm observing when it comes to religious freedom is religious freedom means religious freedom for all, right? Which means that if you believe in religious freedom, you have to be tolerant of every other religious view. And what's happening is other religious views are pushing against our religious views that are limiting us in what we can say and how we can act as a church. So when you start putting your hope in religious freedoms, in the government providing religious freedom, it can really lead to some restriction. We need to be careful where we're placing our hope. Some look to circumstances to provide hope or environment. If only I could land that dream job, or if I could just get a raise, you know, that raise that was promised, if I could just get that, then, you know, life would be so much easier and so much better. I just hope it happens. Or if I could just get that new car. Man, I wouldn't have to worry about this old junker, you know, falling to pieces, or that new house. And we just hope for these kinds of things. Again, or that promised stimulus. I can only hope, right? Some look for hope in a relationship. If I could just find Mr. or Mrs. Right, then life would be good. Or if only my husband would love me and lead me the way I think he ought to, then life would be good. Or a husband might be thinking, if my wife would just cut me some slack, you know, if she'd just get off my back a little bit, man, you know, life would be good. Or if only the kids would behave, if they would just do what I ask them to do, then life would be good. You know, we place our hope in all different kinds of things out there. And so many people are looking for hope in all the wrong places. So we go back to our definition of hope. What is hope? And we talk about resurrection hope, right? What is this resurrection hope? Well, God speaks of hope very differently than the world. You know, the world says that hope is this feeling that something that I want or desire is going to happen. You know, I hope. But God's definition of hope is a confident expectation of an assured future. That'd be a good place for an amen. See, that's real hope. The confident expectation of an assured future. Now, some of you listening might say, now, wait a minute. I don't get that. That's what we're talking about. And we want to encourage you with that kind of hope. Webster's second definition, you know how they have number one and they give the most common definition and then number two. The second definition is an expectation, that hope is an expectation. But still, I submit that when we talk about biblical hope, it is a confident expectation of an assured future. But we can say, okay, all right. How can that possibly be? Because we don't have a crystal ball, right? You know, how can we have that assured future because and have confidence in that because we don't have a crystal ball? Well, we don't. But how can we have this kind of hope? It's because, if you're taking notes, you might want to jot this down. It's because hope is based upon the character and promises of God. That's why we can have a confident expectation of an assured future because it is based upon the character and promises of God. That's a faith statement. We place our faith and we believe in God and what He says to be true, and it makes a difference. It gives us hope. So let's just start. We have several passages. If you have YouVersion on your phones or your tablets, these are all looked up for you. And you can just go to events and you go to Troy, Ohio, FBC, and it's all there. But Romans chapter 8, you can turn there or scroll there. Isn't it funny? We used to have scrolls years ago, you know, and then you have Bibles and now we're back to scrolls, right? Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 18. For I consider that this is Paul writing. He says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself, here it is, will be set free from its bondage. You look around, and spring is a wonderful time because things are coming to life. But we've come through a winter where everything looks dead, right? That's creation groaning and travailing, looking for the coming of the Lord, because when He comes, it's not going to be like this. It's kind of like it's going to be spring all the time. I don't know. But creation will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now, And this is going to help with the definition of hope, all right? Verse 24, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it patiently. Biblical hope. I'll talk about that. Hope means that there is more to come. Hope means there's more to come. Count on it. Confident expectation. Even though you don't see it yet. And so faith and hope are very closely related in the scriptures. You might look at Hebrews 11:1. We've been going through, those of you who haven't been able to be with us, we've been going through a study in the book of Hebrews, and just recently we looked at chapter 11, which we call a faith chapter. And in verse 1, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I say faith and hope are closely related. Back in Job says in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, remember Job was going through really tough times, to the point where he was like, just take my life. Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. Some translations say trust, which has to do with faith. So Job was saying, even if God would take my life, I'm going to keep trusting in him. My hope is in him. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction or evidence of things not seen. Now, assurance has the idea of a firm foundation. When you came in here today, you walked in and there was these nice new chairs. They're not even a year old yet. And you came in and you sat down on that chair. That's you had the assurance that was going to hold you up. That's the foundation that we're talking about. Some needed more assurance than others. But the point there is that you had assurance that it was going to hold you up, right? Nope. You probably didn't even think about it. I didn't see any skeptics walk in and go, I'm not sure. No, you had the assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. That's faith gives you that assurance, the evidence of things not seen, or proof, the conviction of things that we don't yet see. Again, go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25. In this hope we were saved. This is the kind of hope that you have in salvation. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus from the dead. The most significant event in history for you and me. He was cruelly crucified on the cross. And he died. And he was buried. And a few weeks ago, I said he experienced something that you and I will never experience if we believe. And that is, he went to hell. Now, to clarify, he did not go to hell to experience the punishment of hell. He went to hell to proclaim victory over hell, to proclaim victory over sin and death. And in light of his victory, you and I can have victory if we but believe. And he rose again. He rose again, pronouncing, showing that he was the one who could save. And the resurrection of Jesus provides hope. So here's your take-home thought here today, and that is, the resurrection of Jesus provides your greatest hope. The resurrection of Jesus provides your greatest hope because the resurrection proves that Jesus is the Savior. He is the one who can save you from sin and death. There's a hymn, many of you know it. I thought about singing it, but it might empty the place. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So I want to talk about building blocks of hope this morning. Building blocks of hope. And here's the first one. Hope for the coming of a Savior. Hope for the coming of a Savior. And by that I mean those folks in the Old Testament hope for the coming of the Messiah. And you read about that in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, right? Isaiah 9, 6, for unto us a child is born. Now you're sitting here thinking, I thought this was Easter. Get my calendar right, wrong? This is a Christmas verse, right? Listen to this. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That's hope. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Our hope is based upon the character and promises of Almighty God. Jeremiah 31. When they believed, as in the Old Testament, the Israelites, the Jews, they were looking ahead to the coming of a Messiah. Because in Jeremiah 31, starting with verse 31, it says there that he will make all things new. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Verse 33, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They were looking ahead for the hope for the coming of a Savior who would accomplish just that. A new law, not all of the burden of the law that just exposed sin, but a law that was written in their hearts. Wow. And then in just over a couple pages in 33, Jeremiah 33, verse 14. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord. Remember, we're talking about faith in the character and promises of God. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promises I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely, and this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. David will never lack a man to sit on the throne. Oh, we look forward with hope to what God's going to do when he brings about the Messiah. And there's one commentator, isn't it? He says, Judaism is a religion of hope. Not a hope. Like so often we think of. But a confident expectation of an assured future. Judaism is a religion of hope. They were looking ahead to the coming of the Messiah. The whole Old Testament sacrificial system, which was woefully inadequate, accomplished its purpose, exposing their sin. They were continually reminded of their sinfulness through the continual sacrifices. Those of you who have been with us through the book of Hebrews, you heard that over and over again. Well, they heard it over and over again, year after year, looking ahead to the coming of the Messiah, who is going to make all things new. And he did. Judaism was a religion of hope. That system pointed to the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundations of the earth. So they looked ahead. They hoped for the coming of the Messiah. They looked forward to it confidently. So hope for the coming of a Savior. Here's another building block. And that is, hope was fulfilled in the Savior's coming. Hope was fulfilled in the Savior's coming. It goes clear back Luke chapter 2. And again, this is kind of a Christmas passage. There was a guy named Simeon. He had been promised that he would not die before he saw the Savior, the Messiah. And so Mary and Joseph, they were bringing Jesus into the temple to fulfill their responsibility for their son and circumcision and all that went along with that and consecration. And Simeon sees this young couple come in with their child Jesus. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Listen, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." That's faith. He believed in what God would say. "For my eyes have seen your salvation." Hope was realized. I have seen him. He is here. In this child, the Messiah has come, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles, that's you and me, and for the glory of your people Israel. They were looking ahead to the Messiah, and here he was. There he was. The Messiah had come, as Simeon recognized him. Jesus was hope realized. The Messiah is here. But he wasn't understood. They didn't see the significance of that. You know, you think about that as a child. There are a lot of things that you're taught. You don't understand the significance. You know, look both ways before you cross the street. Why? You know, I just want to run over there. My ball's over there, whatever it is. You know, I don't see the significance. You get older and you realize, wait a minute. If I don't look both ways, it could kill me, right? Jesus, here he was. This is the salvation. Here's your salvation. But they didn't understand it. In John chapter 1, if you're searching here today, John is a great book to read. And ask yourself two questions. Who is Jesus? What did he do? Well, actually a third one. And what does he want me to do about it? Who is Jesus? What did he do? What does he want me to do about it? John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He came to his own people, to the Jews. The Jews didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize him as the Messiah. He's just a carpenter's son. He's just a man. He's a child born of Mary and Joseph. And they didn't understand it. And they rejected him. And ultimately crucified him. And he was so poor, he was placed into a borrowed tomb. And on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, John, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter and John, they get up and they run to the tomb. And I don't know if Peter was older and slower and John was faster, or if John was just faster. He gets to the tomb first and he peeks into the tomb, and there's nobody's in there. It's empty. And Peter, brash as he is, he comes running into the tomb, he just charges right into the tomb. Nothing there, just the grave clothes. And the napkin that has been over his head, just laying there. No body, no Jesus. John records and says, I saw and believed. But they still didn't understand the significance of this event. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and she wept. She stooped and looked in the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Having said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. It's kind of a picture of there are many who knew that Jesus came about, they just didn't understand it. Until Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. I'll take care of him. I'll do what needs to be done. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Teacher, Rabboni, teacher. She understood. She realized, this is Jesus. He rose from the dead. And Jesus said to her, Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And that's our message. That's our Sue Rowland is telling the people of Ireland, I have seen the Lord. There's that confident expectation of an assured future. That's what we have as we look to God through his word here in Jesus Christ. Jesus was hope realized but not understood until the resurrection. Until the resurrection. All the Jews had hoped for was found and fulfilled in Jesus. Hope is fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of your hope. He is hope realized. Do you realize, do you understand that Jesus is your only hope? As you are here this morning, do you realize, as Pastor Nate pointed out, that we're all sinners. Every last one of us, Scripture says, all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. That's where we have to start in understanding hope. Because we are sinners, that's why Jesus came. That's the reason why Jesus came. That's why he had to die on the cross, because he died in your place. You and I, because of sin, deserve eternal death. That's what we deserve. Our sin separates us from God. Your sin separates you from God. You need to understand that. That's all part of understanding why Jesus came. He didn't come just to give us a good example on how to live. He did that. But he came because you and I are sinners. You know, most people, if I talk to them about salvation and eternal life, I'll ask, are you certain of eternal life? If you were to die today, are you sure you would go to heaven? And most people say, well, I hope so. But what hope are they talking about? That's the, I hope, you know? It's a feeling I have of a desired future. But is God wants you to have a confident expectation of an assured future. Most people say, I hope. Well, how do you think you get to heaven? And most people say, well, I just try to be good. Try to be as good as I can. My friend, let me tell you, good is not good enough. good will not get you to heaven. Being good, doing good, will not get you to heaven. You need to understand that. That's what we're talking about here. Then that's why Jesus came, because you could never, ever be good enough. Because we're all sinners. And that happened with Adam and Eve. Ever since Adam and Eve, we're all children of Adam and Eve. Regardless of color or race. We died in Adam. Death passed upon all men, because all have sinned. All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. You will never be good enough. Ever. You have to realize that. That's why he who was the only perfect one had to die in your place. The wages of sin is death. And that's not purposefully, it's not sins. Because just even one sin, the payment for that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's why he died. He died as a substitute for you. If you would believe that he did this for you. And so good is not good enough. Because, and in light of that, the people who go to heaven are those who are forgiven. That's what you need. That's your greatest need, is forgiveness. Which can only happen through Jesus, his blood, and righteousness. That's the foundation of hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Right? And many of you are sitting here going, yes, thank you, God, for my salvation. But there may be someone here today who say, you know what? I need this. And I want that. I realize, and if you're honest, every one of us, you can think back maybe just this morning when you like, come on, we gotta go, and you get angry, or maybe something happened yesterday, maybe your team didn't win, or whatever it is. We get, we say something we know we shouldn't have said, or we do something we know we shouldn't do. Just exposes our sin. We try and we try, and we fail and we fail. But that's why Jesus died. And that's why he rose again, to provide that victory over sin and death for you and for me. Don't place your hope in that which is fleeting. In your circumstances, in your environment, or your finances, or your relationship, or in your health, because all of these things are uncertain. You don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to take place tomorrow. And so again, if you're just hoping that you will go to heaven, I want you to know that you can know. In fact, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, these things are written in the Word of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Not so you can just hope, I hope I'm on my way to heaven. No, God wants you to know. And we want to help you know that. And you can know that through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Jesus is our living hope. This is the theme verse for this message, 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's your living hope, so that you can live with hope. Here's the kind of the whole crux of this message, and that is the hope of the resurrection is that the resurrection provides hope. And hope is that there is more to come. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says that Jesus is the first fruits. That is the hope that more will be resurrected. Not just Jesus, but those who are believers are going to be resurrected as well. There's the hope that you can endure whatever it is you're going through. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 26. And Jeremiah going through extreme difficult times. He says, But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one waits quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Hope. In whatever it is you're going through, whatever challenge, whatever difficulty, you can have hope as you hope in Jesus. You have the hope of trusting him. May the God of all hope, Romans 15:13, fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Confident expectation that God has got this, whatever it is you're going through. God's got this. Hope is based upon believing, and believing produces hope. You have the hope of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Think about that. Here I am, a sinner, deserving eternal death and destruction and an eternal hell, separated from God. And yet, through Jesus Christ, I can have a relationship with him. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You have a hope in Jesus Christ that there is a future. There is eternal life. And now the final building block here is hope looks to eternity. Hope looks to eternity. Not just, I hope that we'll get this new house or new car, or I hope that I'll recover from this surgery, or I hope I get this new toy. That's so temporal. Biblical hope looks to eternity. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. Will not perish, but have everlasting life. Hope for eternity through Jesus Christ. Hope looks to that which is to come in eternity. That's one reason why, as believers, we're like, I hope Jesus comes today, right? Because for those who are raptured, if Jesus comes and we're raptured, we don't have to die. You know, that's a good reason to hope. Well, but regardless, whether we die or whether we're raptured, we'll have a new body. We'll be like Jesus. We'll have a heavenly home. We will be with Jesus, present with him. No more death, no more dying, no more sin, no power or presence of sin. No tears. Listen, no temptations in heaven. Revelation 21, verses 4 and 5. It says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The death and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Hope is founded upon truth. In eternity, we're going to have eternal righteousness, according to Galatians 5:5. We will be reunited with saved loved ones. I look forward to seeing my little brother in heaven. I haven't seen him since 1975. But I look forward to seeing him. I look forward to seeing my grandma and grandpa Christian, grandma and grandpa Carter. I look forward to seeing loved ones. I look forward to meeting, listen to this, Noah. You know, I mean, tell me about it, man. You know, that must have been unbelievable. And he'll probably say, yeah, that ark down there, yeah, that's pretty cool, but it wasn't anything like what we had, you know. I look forward to meeting Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I look forward to meeting Joshua, Samuel, David, Daniel. Tell me about those lions, man. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you really didn't smell like fire? Man, I want to shake the Apostle Paul's hand. I want to sit and talk to the Apostle Paul. That's eternity. Just think about that. How awesome that will be. There will be rewards. Listen, there will be eternal life. In eternity, hope will no longer be necessary because hope is realized. In heaven, hope is fulfilled because Jesus is there. But all of this hope, let me say that again, all of this hope of which I just spoke is because of the resurrection. Do you have hope? Do you have hope here this morning? I mean real hope. Do you have that confident expectation of reality, of an assured future? And that reality is found in Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no hope. Oh, yeah, you may have the hope that you will get that new car or house, or that you will recover, or whatever that is. That's so temporal. And those are things for which we can trust God. We can pray about those things. But I'm talking about the hope of eternity. And that reality is found in Jesus, who we celebrate here today. And we celebrate his resurrection. In Jesus, you have all the hope that is ever possible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you for this resurrection hope, that we have hope, the hope of eternity, the hope of a relationship with you because of Jesus and what Jesus did on our behalf. Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again for me and for each one here. And if folks would simply believe that he did that, receive that gift of salvation, that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And we walk in newness of life. So thank you, Father, for these truths here today. And I pray that you would impress them upon all of our hearts. Father, there are people here who have lost hope. People who are listening who have lost hope. People who are just wondering what's going to happen. What's going on? And we don't have a crystal ball, but we do have your character and your promises. And because of that, we have eternal hope for the life that now is, but also for that which is to come. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I just encourage you to contemplate these matters that we've discussed here today. And I hope you see the significance of the resurrection in providing true and lasting hope for you. And I just invite you to surrender to Jesus. To say, you know what, I understand now that just being good, it doesn't cut it. I need to be forgiven through Jesus Christ. I want to come to Jesus. I encourage everyone to fill out a connection card. We have those at the entryways here. You can also fill one out at YouVersion or on our website, or even the new QR code, church information there. And I encourage you to fill that out. That's how we connect with one another. That's how we share prayer requests, answer some questions. And if you're here and you just say, I want to get saved, or I have questions about salvation, I have questions about eternal life, however you want to word that, just jot that down. And you can place your connection card in the offering receptacle out here in our welcome center. Or you can submit it online. By the way, you can give. And thank you for your faithful giving. God is blessing so that we can continue the ministry. And you can give the offering receptacle. You can also give online through our website and even through YouVersion. So take that into consideration. But the